My name is Reverend Randy Nelbone. For those of you that don't know me, I've been going here since day one, so most of you know me, but I know there's some first-time guests, and Pastor Tim has asked me to share the word today, and I'm honored to do so. I love preaching here. This is my favorite place to preach because everybody's so hungry. By the way, if today is your first time, please come back, because don't judge the church based on me. Now, we're going to have fun, and we're going to learn the word, and we're going to grow, but our pastor is like top of the food chain preacher kind of guy. And so please come back and hear him. And if you're from out of town, we have a live stream, so you can check that out or archive things. And he's an amazing man of God, an amazing minister, so please do so. Amen. But this is my favorite place to preach. I want to know, where's the rowdy section this morning? Anybody got a little extra oomph on you today? Don't come to church and sit there like a bump on a log. I'm not being mean. Listen, don't beat me up. I know most of you could, but listen, why don't you just stay home if you're not going to get excited? But I sense a lot of enthusiasm for the Word of God this morning. So the rowdy section's everywhere, so I can go any which way. All right. Well, I'm going to hold you to it. Because there's three parts to every service. Now, don't you forget it. Three parts. God always does his part. He's always looking to confirm his word with signs following. And I promise you, I did my part. I studied, prayed, got ready, saw God, got a message. So y'all just got to be hungry. That's the third part. You got to be hungry. You hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled. So what do you say? Let's get filled up this morning on the Word of God. Hallelujah. You know, I've been meditating on some things. Even before Pastor asked me, and then when he did ask me, I just sought the Lord to make sure it was okay. I wanted to preach on what I was meditating on, and it seemed in my heart it was okay. So I've been building my faith. Are you ready for this? I've been building my faith on faith. Simple guy, I know. I've been building my faith on faith because I don't know about you, but first of all, I'm very thankful for where God's brought me, because I know where I used to be. And I see in part where I'm going, but you know, but at the same time, although I'm thankful, I'm not satisfied. Because there's more in God. If he said in his word we're going from glory to glory, I just made up my mind. I'm gonna double dog dare him to prove it's true. Because eternal life didn't start this, it doesn't start when you get to heaven. It started the moment you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. That's when life started, the God kind of life, Zoe. I'm not talking about my little daughter. I'm talking about the life of God. Zoe means the God kind of life. You know, if you seek God, if you seek that God kind of life, he'll fill you up till you overflow. You get so much on you, it just oozes off you like a sponge. And you can have that, but you can only have it as much as you believe. So bless God, I've been building my faith on faith. You ever see over there in Romans 1:17? Go ahead and bring that up, T-Man. Romans 1:17. Notice the end. It says, the just shall live by faith. We live by this. Don't get upset because God expects something out of you. That's just how we roll. That's just how it is. We live this way. The world cannot live this way because they have not made Jesus the Lord. But once you make Jesus your Lord, we live by faith. Now, faith is simply just believing what God said. Once we know, Brother Hagin, you know, he said it this way. He said, faith begins where the will of God is known. You know, go to Romans. Actually, just pull it up because I want to get us to another spot. But Romans chapter 10. Amen. In verse 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we get in the word and we see things in the word, that's where faith comes. Now, I know most of us know this, but we need to review this to get to where we're going. Again, faith begins where the will of God is known. So once you have God's will on something, that is where faith begins. But I'm going to say something to you, and I don't want you to get upset with me. but it's true, and you'll love me for it after we say it. Faith in itself is not enough. How many know that there's people in hell today? Don't get mad at me. This is true, okay? It's true. There's people in hell today that have faith to be saved. Just imagine how sad that is, that there's folks that are in eternal torment right now that have heard the same word that you've heard. They've heard that Jesus Christ is Lord. They've heard that he went to the cross and died for their sins. They heard that he rose from the dead 3 days later. That's pretty good. And that he arose victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And he set them free of all their sin. And all they have to do is receive it. But you know what a lot of people said? Nah. Forget about it. Well, sadly, there's people that are in eternal judgment right now that will never get out of that, that even at this moment have faith to be saved. Well, then why aren't they in heaven? Well, we'll get there in a moment. Faith requires action. You have to act on the word of God. Now, don't get upset that we need to do something. That's one thing I think is probably my favorite thing about Pastor Tim, is he doesn't let us just hear the word. He's like, okay, now it's time to do the word. Now it's time to apply what you've seen in the word. If the folks that are in eternal judgment, bless their hearts, that heard the word and rejected it, if they had just, now they believed it, but if they would have just acted on the word by confessing Jesus as Lord and receiving him as Savior, they wouldn't be in the place they are today. Because their faith took an action. There's folks that they just don't want to receive Jesus because they're like, well, I like sin. It's fun. I like marijuana and getting high. I know it's pronounced marijuana. I'm having fun, okay? I like it. I like the way it makes me feel. I like being promiscuous. It's fun. I don't want to quit getting wasted on weekends. It's fun. All my friends are there. Those ain't your friends. They're using you just as much as you're using them. So let's just get right. You know, there's been times in my life now, I've known Jesus a long time, you know, since most of my life. I thank God for godly parents. But there's been times I've rebelled a little bit, you know. I know none of you were ever 13 and went to the cigarette machine and threw $3 in it like I did. I know I'm the only one that's ever done that. Some of you are like, what's a cigarette machine? Dad, I have to go to the bathroom. I run over in the back, and then I pull it, and the thing fall out. It was so loud, I knew I was going to get in trouble and get caught. I wish I would have. I know none of you have done that. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. I've done rebellious things. How about you? I remember when Grandpa had Grandpa made wine, you know, and it was gross, but, you know, that's how I know it was gross. And then I remember one time I didn't understand what was happening to me because I had too much of that vinegar water. I've done things rebellious. So, and there's been times I've gone off and just didn't feel like serving God. I didn't want to pray, didn't want to read, just pity party, whatever it was. I'll tell you what, those days are awful. How many of you can remember days before Jesus? I've been serving Jesus. There's times I wasn't. I'll tell you, serving Jesus is way better. You say, well, there's responsibilities attached to it. Well, wah, get over it. It's a wonderful life. We get his provision, his power, his favor. What's wrong with that? Well, the world make fun of me. What do they have on you? You know, the world, the way they live, it leads to depression. How many of you remember this? I'm trying to get to my notes, but y'all are egging me on. How many of you remember when you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? You'll especially remember this if maybe you're a little bit older in life and you got saved. How many remember when you gave your life to Jesus, all of a sudden when your head hit the pillow at night, you had peace in your heart? Anybody remember that? I mean, you didn't really give a rip if your spirit left your body. Because you know where your eternity was, it's in heaven, so you weren't afraid anymore. Well, let me ask you this. What's that worth? Amen? But now as we build our lives in Jesus, there's more. There's more anointing. There's more things that God wants us to do. There's more prosperity and provision. I got breaking news for you. Pastor Tim's starting a church in Erie. Breaking news. Okay? God led him to buy one of the biggest buildings in Erie. And I don't know if you knew this or not, but nobody goes to that church yet. Guess how many tithers are in Erie right now? Zero. Didn't mean to discourage you this morning. Y'all are like, I'm staying here. I know the bills will be paid. God led Pastor to do that. It's going to take, now it took us, now thank God, remember he said, I need $50,000. Remember that? And we got to believe God together for that money to come in. And that's just the start. It takes faith to build these things. And how many know this? There's going to be more churches planted. There's going to be more works to come out of this work. That last offering that Pastor Tim took up will not be the last offering Pastor Tim will take up for a new work. How many remember Mayville? How many remember Tonawanda? Well, the pastor gets up and preaches and tells us, look, he reads these testimonies of these marriages being restored and all these people getting born again. Aren't you glad your faith worked to help raise some money to give to that? There's more. Hallelujah. Y'all got me on a rabbit trail. But faith took action. It takes action. Pastor Tim took action with his faith to get the Amish buggy. Hello. How does a church with no people in it get the Amish buggy? And for those of you that don't know the Amish buggy, no, they're not meeting in a buggy with only two people that can fit in it. It's a building, what, 7,000 to 8,000 square foot, more than this one. Glory to God. Oh, I just love it when the devil gets a black eye. It just makes me happy. It makes me happy. That building will be full of people, just like this one's full of people, full of the power of God, full of the victory of God, full of the provision of God, full of health and prosperity. Hallelujah. Well, it was one thing to have faith for that. It was another thing to act on it so it could come to pass. Pastor Tim could have had all the faith in the world, but that never would have happened if he didn't act on it. If he wasn't a doer of the word. James 1:22 says this, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Deceiving. You see that? Is that in the Bible? Deceiving your own selves. King James. This church has the potential to be the most deceived church in this whole area. The potential. I didn't say we were, and we won't be, but listen, it's scriptural. We are fed so well at this church. When I went to Rhema back in 1996 through 1998, I remember they used to say it was like Christian Disneyland down there, which was true. It was churches everywhere. Everybody's on, it seems like everywhere you go, there's a Christian, there's, you know, all the bumper stickers, you know what I mean. By the way, don't put a bumper stick. Never mind. Don't. Hallelujah. That was me, not the word. Okay. But I'm here to tell you now, I'm thinking that this area is Christian Disneyland. The more it's growing, it's just the fun that we have learning the word. I don't know about you, but my life being changed is enjoyable to me. Even if it's because I got corrected, I like correction because that means God loves me. I enjoy being loved by God. I hope you do too. But we have the potential to be very deceived here. Why? Because we can get the word and be fed the word and learn and get all this faith on things. But if we don't release our faith, did you know that when you come to church on a Sunday or a Wednesday and you hear the word, that shouldn't be the only time you act like a Christian. You are a Christian. You're a child of God, so when we go out, we do what Pastor taught us. He's not just there to get us excited, then we go home and live defeated and sad and Nothing's going on. He gives us the word, and we learn the word so we can go out and do it and go from one level of glory to the next level of glory to the next level of glory. That's the point. So why would the Bible say that we could deceive ourselves if we don't do the word? Well, I'll put it to you this way. Have you ever met somebody, and don't point at your neighbor, please. Have you ever met somebody that just didn't get it? I'm not being mean. Maybe it's you, and I'm not picking on you, okay? I promise you, I'm not. Just didn't get it. Just didn't see that they were healed. Just didn't, I mean, the same problem for year after year, decade after decade, and they never seemed to get the victory. But yet the word of God showed them that they have the victory, that they are healed, that they are prosperous, that they are rich. They saw it, and they seen it, but they believe it. But what happened? Well, they didn't do the word. And a lot of those folks, bless their darling hearts, what happens is they get so discouraged that they start saying, well, the word doesn't work. If we've ever been to a place where we say that the word doesn't work, we have deceived ourselves. You've actually lied to yourself. You've actually said, maybe you didn't know you said this, but you actually said, you know, Lord, I just don't believe what you said is true. I think you lied about it. I don't know about you, but I don't want to look God in the eye and call him a liar. So if the word isn't working, it's not because the word doesn't work. It's because we didn't work the word. And so if we only knew how to work the word, wouldn't that be nice? Go with me to Mark chapter 5. We're going to learn how the word works, how to work it. I remember learning this and reading these verses years ago. And I'd be like, I want to be a doer of the word, but what does that mean? Well, we're going to find out this morning. Did you know, by the way, that Jesus can see your faith? Did you know faith can be seen? Did you know that? I remember over there in Matthew chapter 9, when the two blind men came to him. And Jesus, now they came to Jesus, and then Jesus, he said, what do you want me to do for you? Now you think that Jesus might be a little bit, maybe he was tired that day because there were two blind men that came to him, and he's Jesus. And he still said, what do you want me to do for you? But see, he had to see where their faith was at. And they said, well, we may receive our sight. And then Jesus, what did he say? You remember that? I'll just tell you what he said. He said, well, do you believe that I'm able to do this? Yes, Lord, we believe. And he laid hands on them. They were healed. And then he said, be it unto you according to your faith. He saw their faith, and they were healed. And then I remember the crippled man. He was in the basket, and everybody was at Jesus' place, you know, and Jesus was ministering. And they brought this man in to be healed, but the place was jam-packed where they couldn't even get him in. You remember that story? And then what did they do? Did they start crying and go on Facebook and write a post about, oh, I guess we'll never get healed? Because they got up on that roof and ripped the roof open. We are getting to Jesus. You know, some people can't even get past the good weather. They just don't go to church. Well, they're deceived. They'll get nothing from God. If you're more excited about golf than the Holy Ghost, check your spiritual pulse. Now, I'm not being mean, but what has golf done for you? Those few good days you've had out there, mostly it just frustrated you. You know, God's never frustrated me. My flesh has frustrated me, but God has never frustrated me. And then Jesus, remember what happened to that fella? They put him right through the roof. And we know that he got his sins forgiven and he got healed. But the Bible says Jesus said that when he saw their faith. That's right. No, Jesus didn't say that. The Bible says when Jesus saw their faith. How many of you want Jesus to see your faith? Well, let's see faith in action. Mark chapter 5. We'll start in verse 25, and this is one of the most exciting passages in the whole Bible. There's so much we can glean from this, and we're going to hit some high points this morning. This is the story, of course, of the woman with the issue of blood. Mark chapter 5 and verse 25. I'm going to read several verses. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may but just touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now, I'm going to give you some points here on how your faith can work, okay? But let's think about this a minute. Here, this woman had suffered 12 long years. And you need to remember something about those days. In her condition, she was under Jewish law where she had to leave her family. She had to leave, the basic things of life. And she was considered by law unclean. So if she was out with anybody that wasn't unclean, like in this situation, she had to say, unclean, unclean. See, she was risking getting in some big, serious trouble by doing this. She wasn't just home one day, and she didn't have like a radio and heard something, or it wasn't anything like we would have today, and then she could just go. She was in a weakened, sickly condition. She had spent all of her money wanting to be better, so we know she wanted to be well. She wasn't like some folks that like being sick, so they'll get mercy and sympathy from people. She wanted to be well. If you're in this place, if you're not feeling well or things aren't right, you need to want to be well. And then God will meet you there. This was one bold woman. I'm looking forward to meeting her in heaven and saying, thank you for doing that, because what an amazing story in the Word of God. And she had heard of Jesus. And get this, she said something. Now, the faith came when she heard of Jesus. How many know the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the Word in the flesh? So she heard the Word. She had faith. She knew. Look, she had it, but she knew it wasn't just about having the faith. She had to go do something about it. Notice that Jesus didn't have a gift of the Spirit in operation. And he didn't send one of his disciples, say, you know, over there in the unclean section of town, there's a lady that believes me. Why don't you go drag her over here? I'm going to lay hands on her. Did he say that? So many times we want people to lay hands on us. Well, laying on of hands is scriptural, and it's good. But that's not all the time. That's as the Spirit wills. There's things that we can do all the time that work all the time when we just dare to believe God. So she went out, and it's the same thing. She had a want to. She wanted to get to Jesus. A lot of people that don't get their answers, again, they're out, they won't even come to church, but a few times a month or Wednesday nights, they'd rather watch Seinfeld reruns. Amen. But she went, and she didn't just say it. She kept saying it according to the Amplified Bible. She went out, and she did it.
That's right.
And it was hard for her. And it wasn't like Jesus was just out, you know, at Five Guys having a burger and there's not many people around him and, you know, and that she could just get to him and it was easy. The Bible says there was a multitude thronging him. People were always wanting to get around him. But there's something interesting about that multitude. You don't read where they were getting any help. There's something different about this woman. She had faith and then she went out and did what she said. It must have been a struggle to get to Jesus. She had to, don't get mad that I'm going to say this four-letter word, she had to work for it. She had to work for it. She had to risk breaking the law. But I'll tell you what, bless God, she got her answer. She got her healing. And notice this about Jesus. He didn't even know that she was there. Oh, there's more to our part than we can even imagine. I double dog dare you to give yourself a faith project. I double dog dare you to give yourself. I remember Kevin Durant one day, he said, give yourself a faith project or one's going to be appointed to you. Why don't you grow your faith on your own? My wife and I right now, I don't want to give details. I don't want to get into it. But we're believing God for some things that look crazy. Because I'm just double dog daring God. I'm not being arrogant. I got this from the Word. I'm stretching my faith. I'm saying some things. And they will come to pass. Why don't you say some things? Maybe you've been in a place in your life, you've been there for 12 long years. Maybe you spent all that you had and you're not getting any better. Why don't we just believe God and do some things you've never done before? Remember the definition of insanity, doing what you've always done and expecting different results. Thank God where we come, but I'm more excited about where I'm going. I'm not satisfied yet. I want more of God. And faith will bring it to pass. I want to give you the five things that will help you to do the word. It's very simple. It is in this story. We've touched on it. Number one, when she heard of Jesus, when you hear the word, faith takes birth in your heart. The second you believe it and you know the will of God, faith is birthed in your heart. And that's a wonderful step. But as we mentioned, that is not enough. The second thing you need to do the word and release your faith, is have your words agree with God's words. Amen. This woman said it. Amplified Bible said she kept on saying it. She kept on saying it. You say, well, that's a vain repetition. No, it's not. It's just believing God. You're just convincing yourself that the word of God is bigger than your circumstance. In the natural, it doesn't make sense that you could just touch somebody's clothes and the thing that's been dogging you for 12 years is just going to go away. That's just not natural. Well, we don't look at the things which are seen. We look at the things which are unseen. And she knew, because she had heard that Jesus Christ in the flesh, he has healing power in him. And it got into his clothes, and if I just touch it, I shall be whole. She didn't go there hoping, well, dear Lord, if you know, I might get arrested here. She's like, I'm going. This has been a long time. Imagine the joy that came to her when she knew her answer finally showed up. Praise God for doctors. If you're a doctor in here, thank you for all you do. Keep doing it, because we appreciate you. It's a godly profession. But there's some things doctors can't do. The healing power of God, it can get in there and touch and heal you where you need it. Where, let's say, chemotherapy can get in there and hammer on cancer, but it also wipes out the rest of the body. But the power of God can get in and just... Hallelujah. She said it. Hebrews 10:23 says to hold fast to the profession of our faith. Now the King James says profession. Every other translation will say confession. So hold fast to the confession. See, we need to have a confession. A confession of what? Our faith. What are you believing for? Start talking about it. Start saying it so. You know, my wife and I, when we, right now we're set on vehicles, but there'll be another day we'll need another vehicle. And what we do is we set our sights high. And we put stuff on the refrigerator. Like, I remember the Yukon. I don't know if you know, Karina used to have a 2002 Yukon. And that was our first new vehicle. And it was, God did some neat things to get that to us. But we just put a picture of a Yukon on the fridge. And we talk about it. Just talk about our Yukon, which we didn't have. At the time, we were driving a 1991, don't get jealous, a 1991 Chevrolet Caprice Classic. I bought it from my grandpa, Gramps. And I had that thing, I mean, just a police officer's dream. I got pulled over. Anyway, I remember in Tulsa one time, I got pulled over, and they thought I was in the mob. So, because I had a New York plate, I had a brand new suit on. I had my hair slicked back. I was like, oh, you doing? I said to the cop, and I mean, it took a long time to get out of there. But I had that car. It was white with black windows. I don't mean tinted. I mean black windows. I had racing wheels on it. Don't look at me in that tone of voice. Some of you had lame cars, too. And then I got air shocks where it went, bzzz, and I drive with my nose down. You ever see a helicopter? That was me. I had a little white helicopter. Flying around Rhema. My exhaust falls off. You know what I mean? Here we go. I'm in faith. Here we go. That was my car. And then I met this beautiful little Asian girl from Brazil. And then I gave her that car. Hallelujah. And then best day ever is when we sold it. But anyway, we had... And then I bought another 91, the same exact car with less miles on it, half the miles. And that was our car. And it was nice, comfortable. You know, it flowed a little bit. It was nice. But we put that picture of the Yukon on there. First Greeny said, I want a Jeep Cherokee. I said, why? Because they're the number one rated off-road vehicle. I said, when you going off-road, girl? I had to know, because if she's got a new profession she's working on, Bajan or jumping things or monster trucks, I don't know. I want to know. I just got married. I got to see what I got myself into here. And so she said, all right, you're right, so we'll get the Yukon. She agrees. We got an agreement. So then we just say, Lord, thank you for a new Yukon. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We'd say it. We believe we said it. It was October 17th, 2001. We drove away with a brand spanking new. Four-door, fully loaded leather Yukon. GMC Yukon. Horrible on gas, but it was really nice. But we were just thankful. We drove down in the Caprice and drove home in the Yukon. And we were just thanking God and looking for the next thing to believe him for. Amen? We kept on saying it. It's worked like that over and over again. When we were believing for a new house, the Lord kind of directed me to buy Log Home magazine. Now, we didn't wind up with a log home, but it's close, sort of. If you've been there, you know what I mean. It used to be cedar. But, the cedar's still there. It's just underneath everything, behind everything. But we're just bracing our faith. We had no idea how it would all work out. And long story short, God worked it out, and we have a new home. And we're very thankful. We just believe his word. And we're nobody special. We're just Christians. And this woman wasn't even a Christian. Now we're children of God. How much more should we get our answers? I'm not settling for less. So she said it. And then she did it. Yeah. It's one thing to say it. It's another thing to do it. You know, we had to go out and sign for that vehicle. It didn't just show up in our driveway. We had to go get it. Amen. Amen. This woman, she'd said it, and she did it. And I'll tell you what, again, it wasn't easy for her. And it's not going to be easy for you sometime. But if you want more of God, why should everything be so easy? Some of the best battles out there, you know, the hardest ones to win. But oh, how sweet is the victory when it comes to pass. And I'll tell you, when we're believing God, we got the victory before it comes to pass. Can I tell you what I'm believing God for right now? I'll give you a little bit. An airplane. And you might laugh, but you look up in the sky soon, I'm going to be waving at you. So you go ahead. Listen. I said it publicly now. I'm going to have an airplane. All the money will be there. I don't even care where it comes from. God will provide, because I double dog daring him. What do you need an airplane for? I don't know. What do you need your second house for? What do you need your second car? Why? How about because God loves me and I like flying? You know God wants you to have stuff just because he loves you? He's enamored with you. He gave you Jesus. He wants to spend eternity with you. What are you going to do when you get to heaven? And you live in a mansion, and you walk on gold, you're going to say, oh, this is too much. Too much. You got all this good food at the marriage supper of the Lamb, you're going to be asked for some onions or something. Or just give me an ice cube and an onion. Glory to God, I'm spiritual. I don't need these fancy clothes. When I got born again, I received the nature of God now. I'm not waiting to become a child of God, an ambassador of heaven when I get there. I'm an ambassador of heaven now. I'm reigning as a king right now. I'm not going to wait. I'm going to act like it because God said it so. And I'm not saying that to talk about me. I want you to see yourself in that light. You can have more. If your heart's good, you can have more. People get so mad at ministers of airplanes, by the way. Ever hear a Creflo Dollar? People are so mad at him because he wants is it 18 or just a citation 10 is at least 18 million for a low end. They're so mad. And so you just heard 18 million. You're like, what a preacher need an $18 million jet. Well, was your salvation worth $18 million? Every time I cook hot dogs and venison and chicken, I feel the heat on that grill. And every time, Anna, I thank God that Jesus Christ came and saved me from hell so I don't have to sit in that grill and cook like the chicken. And you think I'm weird. Why don't you go cook chicken today and leave your hand in there a little bit. See how long you could handle it. And if I heard some people were being big whiny poopy pants and yelling at a preacher because he wants to get around and have more rest so he can go preach the gospel so other people don't go to hell, I tell you, you got a heart issue. I'll tell you what, I want to send him some money so he can get his jet. Get the jet. People used to get upset hearing Dr. Dufresne traveled in a jet. That's so sad. Do you know what he's done for the body of Christ? I really try to follow my notes, but these things happen. Let me talk about that in a minute. One time, he showed up here, and I think it was first or second time he was ever here was at the Fredonia Church. And there's a gal used to come to the church, and she had an aunt that was dying. I mean, she was in a bad shape. And I didn't know this until after. So Dr. Dufresne calls some people forward. And this lady stands before him, and he said, ma'am, the spirit of death is on you. Have you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? See, he knew by the Spirit. She wasn't a believer. No, sir, I haven't. Would you like to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Yes, sir, I would. And she made Jesus her Lord that night. She was gloriously saved. And the next day, she went off into eternity. My doctor had that jet. Get him another one. Get him two. Get Creflo two. Preachers shouldn't have a lot. Well, isn't a preacher a Christian? Last I checked, like Pastor Tim, hasn't he made Jesus the Lord of his life? He's not blessed because he's a pastor. He's blessed because he does the word. Now, we should bless him because he's our pastor. That's scriptural. But even if we all didn't do our part, he'll still do his part and believe God and be blessed. Trying to get somewhere. But she did it. She did it. The fourth thing, she received it. Now, that's the exciting part. We all want to get to where we're receiving things. Amen. Not in a selfish way, but it's fun when our faith works. I know none of you are excited when your bills are all paid, but I happen to like that. I know none of you are excited when your engine blows up and then all of a sudden you have the cash because you believe God to buy you a new engine. I know that doesn't excite you at all, but to me that would be really nice. Amen? I'm just being silly, really, to get a point across. She received it. That's the fourth thing. And check this out. She told it. You know, your faith, even when it worked, you know what will get you ready for the next faith adventure? Talk about your last faith victory. Yeah. Now, don't tell people that are weird and don't care, but tell people that are, you know, that you fellowship with. Tell them what God did for you. I love hearing testimonies. I love hearing testimonies, don't you? How many enjoyed the testimony of that lady getting saved and going to heaven the next day? You love that. Tell your testimony. What has God done for you? This lady, she came fearing and trembling and told Jesus all the truth. She testified. She testified. And just imagine that day when she can go home to her family. Because see, from there she had to go see the priest and be counted as clean, and she got to go home. That's what happens there. What a day for that woman. What a testimony she had. It is that simple how you get your faith to work. It's all right there. So we have got to have our voice, our mouth, saying what God says. Don't say contrary to what God says. Just imagine Jesus here appearing and saying something, then you're just like, nah, that's not true. He don't know what he's talking about. Didn't he see the natural things? No, we're not going to be that way. What you say makes all the difference in your life. How many ministers have said this one? That you are the prophet of your own future. The things that you're experiencing today are a result of what you've said in the past. Now, if you don't like where you're at today, start saying things and investing into your future. Find out what God says about you. Find out who you are in Christ. Find out about whatever situation you're dealing with. And what I mean is find out in the Word what God says about it. And then have your voice, your mouth, agree with what God says. Then you'll start walking more and more in victory. Proverbs 18:21 says this, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat of the fruit thereof. You're going to eat whatever fruit you've been saying. Your words, they create a picture. And I don't know about you, but when you think, don't you think in pictures? Like when you think of a dog, some of you right now are thinking of a black lab. Some of you are thinking of a golden retriever. Some of you are thinking about a beagle. But you picture a dog because you've had experience with these dogs, you know. I'm thinking of, we have a Goldie right now. I'm thinking of her right now. I'm picturing that because I'm saying it. But when you say things that agree with God's word, you're painting a picture of what your life will be, and you'll start seeing that. Yeah. Don't you see pictures? Yeah. Yeah. You ever been to an art exhibit? Praise God, I haven't in a long time. I'm glad, but... Sorry, Kristen. Hey, you haven't got mad at me in a while. You might as well get mad now. And these big art and people will stand there. And yours was the last one I went to. It was very nice. This wasn't Kristen's. Yours was good. And it kind of looks like, you know, I don't want to be mean. Let's put it this way. Isn't it nice to look at a picture if you're not an artist, okay? And look at a picture and you actually know what it is. My parents buy art. Like, they go on these cruises. They come back with all these pictures. And they get them insured, and they throw it in the safe, and they're really weird, you know. And, but, you know, they go up in value. And some of it I look at, I'm like, what is that? How is that art? How did you pay? What did you pay for that? You paid that? Why would you pay that for that? Why don't you just buy like something cool like a car? Why don't you buy this? It's weird. I like to have pictures that I can see and understand. Pastor Jeff from Mayville painted me a picture. It shows a picture of me hunting with some animals I've just taken. Don't get mad, anti-hunters. But it's a picture. It really didn't happen, okay? And but I can see it's me, and I can see the animals that I've taken. You know, I can understand that. It's simple. Yeah. Yeah. There's a squirrel on a tree begging for his life. It's true. Come on over. I'll show it to you. Come over. I'll show it to you. Amen. Well, you know Pastor Jeff. He's fun. So he drew that and gave it to me. Well, I can look at that picture. I can understand it. When we speak God's word, it's just creating pictures that we can understand. We need to see ourselves as rich. We need to see ourselves as prosperous. We need to see ourselves as healed. We need to see ourselves as victorious. We need to see ourselves as more than a conqueror. How do you see yourself as more than a conqueror? It's not just enough to see it in the word. You gotta say it. You gotta say it. You gotta keep on saying it. Hold fast to your confession. And it paints a beautiful picture. And then you can see it. Some of us don't see ourselves in victory because we're not seeing ourselves in victory. Why? You haven't painted the picture. I'm not an artist, but I paint pictures with my words. And all I got to do is agree with God's word. Because I'll tell you what, the times when our words do not agree with God's words, oh, it's bad. It always goes wrong. Amen. Let's see that in the word. Let's see that in the Word. Go with me to the book of Numbers. Actually, we'll go to Numbers in a minute. Go to Hebrews chapter 4 real quickly. Y'all with me? Where's the rowdy section again? I just want to refresh my memory. Wow. A lot of rowdy people in here. Rowdy in a good way for Jesus, right? Amen, amen, amen. It is really sad when believers speak against God. You hear it all the time. Well, healing isn't for today. You've just spoken against God. Tongues are not for today. You've just spoken against God. Right? It's amazing that the folks that say these things aren't living in victory. They're not experiencing the benefits of being full of the Spirit of God. And yet they get angry with folks that do. Well, the folks that do are just doing the Word. I have seen time and time again at this church, folks that have had their marriages restored, folks that have had children come back into fellowship with God, folks that have had miracle after miracle in their life. I've seen folks who have financial miracles in their life. Get offended at one thing pastor says and they leave the church. You seen that? I asked Pastor Michael one time, because he's had the same thing. Every pastor's had that issue. I said, Pastor Michael, have you ever seen anybody who, out of the will of God, left your church out of offense? Have you ever one time seen them living in victory or had that benefit them? He said, no. I've never seen that, where somebody left out of the will of God because of offense and it helped them. Every time. Every time. Listen, this is the 100% rule, so listen. Every time they got hurt. Every time calamity came into their life. You know, the pastor doesn't pray when someone leaves that God smite them. He prays for them that they come back and where they're protected by the Word. But I've seen it time and time again. The only time there's ever been a minor exception is when somebody's such a baby in their faith, they just don't know any better. Amen. Hebrews 4:2 says, for unto us the gospel was preached as well unto them. That's speaking of the Israelites now. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Now go with me to Numbers. We'll get back to that verse in a minute. Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. We're going to read a little bit here. It's okay if we read the Bible in a church like this, a Bible church. Okay. God had a special plan for his chosen people. And he rescued them from Egypt and did amazing things to get them to a place. Imagine walking up to a sea that's been there for millions of years and he parts it, okay? I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. That would make Facebook, right? That would make Fox News. Probably wouldn't make CNN, but it would make Fox News. They didn't mix their faith. God told them to do something and they didn't do it. God gave them a promised land and they didn't take what was rightfully theirs. And that happens so many times in the body of Christ today. There's so many things that rightfully belong to us, but we disagree with God by saying some things and we lose it. And a lot of times there's no recovery. Verse 1 in chapter 13 of Numbers says this, and the Lord spake unto Moses saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their fathers, ye shall send a man, every one, a ruler amongst them. God is telling Moses, it's game time here. And get these spies ready. You go spy out that land. And no doubt after that, there would have been a game plan to take that land. But we're going to see in a minute that doubt and unbelief forfeited the very plan of God. A plan that God had custom made for them that they could have walked into, but they let natural circumstances take them out. I want to read this in verse 25. The spies went and they saw it was a land flowing with milk and honey. They saw it. They had grapes. Listen, they had grapes so big, they had to have two dudes carry them out on a stick. That's prosperity right there. Most of us after church, we're going to go get a pizza, go to AJ's, go to Five Guys. Maybe you got corn on the cob waiting for you or something back home. These guys, they just had a grape. And they were, I mean, man, that's how big these grapes were. I think I'll have a grape. Well, that's what kind of land this was. Imagine what else was at this place. You know, God wants to do way bigger for you than you're letting him. Why don't we just let God be God, trust God, use our part, and go from victory to victory. And they returned in verse 25 from searching the land after 40 days. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. And this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and are very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there, and the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites, and the Jebusites, and the Amorites, and the Mosquito Bites. Couldn't resist. Always wanted to do that. Couldn't resist. Dwelt by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. Here they are in a place where they saw all this stuff that God said they could have, and they're whining about all the things that are in front of them. Thank God for Caleb. And Caleb stilled the people in verse 30. He stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. They should have listened to Caleb, but they would have got what God had for them. But the men went up and said to him, we be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Apparently they thought God went on vacation. And they brought up an evil report. Everybody say an evil report. Speaking against what God says is an evil report. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search is a land that eateth up the inhabitants whereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants and were in our own sights as grasshoppers. And we were so in their sight. Listen, God gave them the land, but natural circumstances caused them to speak against what God said was theirs. Don't let natural circumstances stop you from receiving from heaven. When Karini and I started believing for that UConn, it seemed foolish, but we knew God was bigger than our lack. We knew it. We had the word on it. God said we could have what we say, so we began to confess that and say that. Amen. What are you believing for in your life? Or what about this? What has God told you to do? Every time God tells you to do something, that means this. It means a great door of effectual is open unto you, but there are many adversaries. If you don't like pressure, just sit in a chair at home then, never leave the house. Pressure happens in life. It happens in business. It happens in our walk with God. It happens everywhere where there's things that want to stop us from fulfilling the plan of God. But you know what? Pressure is good. I like oysters. You get yourself an oyster, you know, don't them pearls come from an oyster? Well, it takes a great pressure in that oyster to form that pearl. Ladies, now, how many of you are excited about pressure? That's where you get your pearls. Guys don't wear pearls, right? Girls wear pearls. So girls get excited about pressure. I like pressure because it just gives God another opportunity to show himself strong on my behalf. Bring it on. Listen, the greater one's in me, so there's nothing that can overtake me. I got the Holy Ghost on the inside of me. I always conquer in Christ Jesus. I always triumph. Hallelujah. But they brought up an evil report. And as a result of that, everyone from age 20 and over was forbidden to go into that land that was promised to them. Here they saw all the miracles. They had food coming from heaven. They had provision. I mean, Moses was to go out and like hit a rock and here's water. I mean, it was an amazing experience, and God continually showed himself strong. They're led by fire at night and a cloud by day. It's supernatural. And yet these people who they never even met, these people are, you know, they're just too big and the cities are walled and blah, blah, blah. Listen, do not let natural circumstances stop you from fulfilling the dream that God put in your heart. Every time you're tempted and you feel that person say, no, God said it and it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. I'm holding fast to my profession and my confession. I'm not letting it go. I'm not going to let the devil steal anything from me that God provided for me. Hallelujah. And finally, I wanted you to see this in Numbers. Chapter 14. I'll get there in a minute. Let me say this to you. Maybe you're in this place and you've been speaking against God. Maybe you see things, you're like, yeah, you know, God did say this, and I've been running my mouth and complaining and just looking at natural circumstances, complaining about my checkbook and the lack therein, and complaining about my kids and complaining about my spouse. And just look, thank God we're in the age of grace. Now, there's a message out there that we can do anything wrong and it's okay. That's not true. But at the same time, we're in this age of grace. Just ask the Lord to forgive you and change what you're saying. It's that simple. If you've been speaking against God, change what you're saying, and God will reward you. And if you've been around people that have been speaking against God and you've been starting to let that rub off on you, and you feel like you're the only person to say it at work, and it's so tough for you to say things, look, Caleb had more pressure than you have. He was there with them spies that 40 days. He was there. They were all together on this thing. And they come back and sure had a meeting before they met with Moses and the Israelites. And I'm sure he had his say, but they had their say. He had 10 against him. And because of that, look, all of those people missed out. But God is faithful to those that are faithful to him. Look at verse 24. Verse 23. Go to 23. Surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them be provoked that provoked me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit with him, hath followed me fully, and him I will bring into the land whereinto we went, and his seed shall possess it. And we find out that Joshua went too. Two people. Two people out of those millions. But you know, there's something about God. When we believe God, God will work for us. He'll do things for us. When everyone else is not in belief, he will step up and bring us to the place where we need to be. Smith Wigglesworth, you like that name? Uncle Smith, he said this. There's something about God where he'll bypass a million people just to get to that one person that believes. Well, why don't we just be that one person that believes? It's a decision that we make. We don't need someone to lay hands on us for us to operate in faith. We just believe God and we do it. So as we close today, I want to encourage you. Let's take this message and step our game up. This has encouraged me to step my game up. I am so not interested in where I've been. I'm interested in where I'm going. And I praise God for where you all are and what God's brought you to. It's wonderful. There's so many wonderful testimonies in here. But let's not stop. Let's believe him for more. Yeah. Let's believe him for more. If you're believing to give more in the offering, well, just start saying, I'm giving more in the offering. Right. If you're believing him for total healing, say, my body lines up with the word of God, and I am the healed of the Lord. Yeah. Keep saying it. Act like it, even when it hurts a little bit. Just get dancing a little bit. Start doing something you've never done before. Right. Amen. I've never owned an airplane before, but I'm going to have one. Some of you, maybe you never had a new vehicle before, or perhaps your heart's desires are gently used one. Well, believe God for that. Start saying it. How hard is it to go online and get a picture off the internet and put it on your fridge? Amen. You get a magnet down somewhere for probably 50 cents, slap that thing on the fridge. Slap it on the fridge. Look at that thing. Look, if God gave you Jesus, can he get you a Buick or a... So how do we do that? We've heard the word. We need to be saying it. Yes. Just keep saying what God said. We need to be doing it. Yes. Bless God, and then we'll receive it, and we'll have a testimony. And I'll tell you, that testimony will lead so many people to the kingdom of God. Yes. Amen? Did you get any help this morning? Yes. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and pray.